Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Well, it's that time of year again. We're up to the December month, and it's time for Christmas, followed by New Year's. We're going to get into the spirit with something from Edward R. Murrow. We'll start off with this little tidbit, a little over a minute long. This is Grim Christmas in London from 1940.
Christmas Day began in London nearly an hour ago. The church bells did not ring at midnight. When they ring again, it will be to announce invasion. And if they ring, the British are ready. And all along the coast of this island, the observers revolve in their reclining chairs, listening for the sound of German planes. The firefighters and the ambulance drivers are waiting too. The blackout stretches from Birmingham to Bethlehem. But tonight, over Britain, the skies are clear. This is not a merry Christmas in London. I've heard that phrase only twice in the last 3 days. This afternoon, as the stores were closing, as shoppers and office workers were hurrying home, one heard such phrases as, "So long, Mamie," and "Good luck, Jack," but never a merry Christmas. It can't be a merry Christmas. For those people who spend tonight and tomorrow by their firesides in their own homes realize that they have bought this Christmas with their nerve, their bodies, and their old buildings. Their nerve is unshaken. The casualties have not been large, and there are many old buildings still untouched. Tonight, there are a few Christmas parties in London, a few expensive dinners at famous hotels, but there are no fancy paper hats and no firecrackers. I should like to add my small voice to give my own Christmas greetings to friends and colleagues at home. Merry Christmas. So long, and good luck.
Now let's listen to Christmas by Injunction from 1941.
Author's Playhouse. Presenting O. Henry's imperishable masterpiece, Christmas by Injunction. Author's Playhouse, NBC's popular Sunday night dramatic series, brings you radio adaptations of the best in the field of short stories. Selections from the works of those dead and living who were and are acknowledged masters of their craft. To the reader of short stories, O. Henry needs no introduction. No one knew better than he the art of holding his reader in suspense, and then, with the last few words, revealing his plot in its entirety. Rachel Lindsay wrote of him, "He always worked a triple hint surprise to end the scene and make one rub his eyes." Tonight's tale of Christmas in the winning camps of the young West is no exception. Author's Playhouse presents O. Henry's Christmas by Injunction.
Take this jug along with you, Cherokee. Ain't so much as an air bubble between what's in it and the cork.
Well, thank you, sir. That's right neighborly of you.
It's good for snake bite if you get snake bit.
Oh, case of one pies and fighting t'other, I reckon, eh?
Oh, Cherokee.
Oh, yes, Jed.
Is there nothing which we, your fellow citizens of Yellowhammer, can say or do to influence you to forsake your plans for departing from our midst?
I'm afeard not, Judge. No, my mind's made up.
But, Cherokee, you are the, shall I say, the civic father of Yellowhammer.
sure is.
It was you who discovered the gold, which was responsible for the establishment of our fair city.
I reckon that's a fact, Judge. One day when old Betsy here was dining on quartz and prickly pear, I turned up that nugget. 30 ounces she was.
30 ounces, eh?
Yeah, but what Cherokee done, he didn't hold out on his friends.
No.
I was up in the Gila country when he got word to me about the strike he made.
For me? I was in Santa Fe, as busted as a four-car diamond flush with a club draw to it.
I, too, was financially embarrassed. Only temporarily, of course, when the gladsome tidings reached me in El Paso.
I was up on the Salt River, flatter than one of Mamacita Rosa's frijoles.
You see, Cherokee, merely because the fickle goddess turned her back on you for the moment is hardly sufficient cause for you to forsake your friend.
Oh, that's right, no, Cherokee. Judge, no. When my claim played out, it just played out. I'm much more than obliged to all of you for your kind offers made, but grubstake is all I need, and the grubstake's what I got. I reckon I'll prospect up along in the Mariposas. And if I strike it up there, I'll most certainly pass the word along.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you, boys.
Yeah. Gee, if your mind's made up, I reckon it's made up. And there's nothing more we can say. But if Lady Luck don't see fit to warm her hands by your campfire up in the Mariposas, don't forget for a single minute you've got friends here in Yellowhammer. Friends that's beholden to you.
Yes, sir, that's right. Indeed, yes, yes, indeed, Cherokee. I speak for all when I say, I hope you will consider Yellowhammer in perpetual debt to you for bed, bacon and eggs, and hot water for shaving.
Yes. Thank you, gents, thank you. That's more than why, dear. Well, we better be getting. Move along, Betsy.
Bye, Jack.
Good luck, Cherokee. Don't forget, Cherokee. Whatever call you may make upon us, the Yellowhammer will never forget. It's Romulus and Remus.
What day of the month is it getting to be?
What do you make it, Jed?
It is now December the 20th, gentlemen. The old year is fast approaching its inevitable descent into the limbo of things that have been.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Jed.
Hey, gents, look who's here.
Baldy!
He just got in with the mail from Albuquerque, and he's got news of Cherokee.
Baldy, you old buzzard, step up and name your poison.
Hey, gents, don't mind if I do.
When was it old Cherokee headed out for the Mariposas?
Well, latter part of May, seems like.
Yeah, it's what I made it. That means Cherokee's been gone 7 months.
Gentlemen, let us hear the welcome tidings Baldy brings us of our long-absent friend.
The judge is right. Get to talking, Baldy.
Well, I'll do that, gents. Well, sir, what do I see in Albuquerque but Cherokee all embellished and festooned up like the Tsar of Turkey and lavishing money in bulk? Yes, sir. And him and me see the elephant and the owl. Cherokee, he audits all bills COD. Why, his pockets loaded like looked like a pool table after a 15-ball run.
Cherokee must have struck pay ore. Yeah. Well, he's a square shooter, and I'm proud for him.
Seems like he had rambled down to Yellowhammer and set up around for his friends.
It seems that way.
Gentlemen, let us judge not too hastily, nor harshly.
Well, that's right, Judge. I'm a-coming to that. Boys, Cherokee strikes a 3-foot vein up in that Mariposa that I say is a trip to Europe to the ton. Yes, sir. And he closes it out to a syndicate for $100,000 in cash.
Cherokee's smart. I've seen them veins pinch out in the length of a pick handle.
And what do you think? Why, he buys himself a baby sealskin overcoat and a red sled. And what do you reckon he takes into his head to do next?
Chuck a luck.
No.
Bought a saloon?
No.
Got married?
No. You gents would never guess in a million years, so I'll tell you.
Well,
Cherokee took me to a room and showed me. He got that room plumb full of drums and dolls and skates and bags of candy and jumping jacks and whistles and such infantile truck.
He's went soft-headed. That's what he's done.
But pray continue, Baldy. We're all ears.
Well, sir, he's a-going to load up in his red sleigh. Now, wait a minute. Don't order the drinks yet. He's a-going to drive down here to Yellowhammer and give the kids, The kids of this here town, the biggest crying doll and little giant boy's tool chest blowout that was ever seen west of Cape Hatteras.
Well, I'm astonished.
I'm speechless.
Baldy, didn't you tell him?
Well, no, I never exactly seen my way to.
Why not?
Cherokee had this Christmas mess already bought and paid for, and he was all flattered up with self-esteem over his ideas, so I never let on.
I cannot refrain from a certain amount of surprise that our friend Cherokee should possess such an erroneous conception of his, as it were, hometown.
Well, Cherokee's been gone from Yellowhammer most 7 months. Now, lots of things could happen in that length of time. How is he to know there ain't a single kid in this town? And so far as emigration's concerned, none expected.
Come to think of it, it's funny some ain't drifted in.
Well, I reckon the town ain't settled enough yet to bring in the Teeth and Ring Brigade.
Yeah, not only that. To top off these Christmas tree splurge of Cherokees, he's a-fixin' to give an imitation of Santa Claus. Why, sure. Why, he's got white wig and whiskers that disfigures him and makes him look like the pictures of this year William Cullen Longfellow in the poetry book. And a red suit of fur-trimmed underwear, 8-ounce gloves, and stand-up lay-down crocheted cap.
Baldy, when does Cherokee allow to come over with his truck?
Morning before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Now, he wants you folks to have a room fixed up and a tree hauled and ready. But he said be sure and keep it a secret from the kids.
Kids. To think that the voice of childhood has never gladdened our city. The patter of restless little feet never consecrated its streets. Nowhere in Yellowhammer are there roguish, expectant eyes, ready to open wide at dawn of the enchanting day. Eager, tiny hands to reach for Santa's bewildering array of gifts. Elated, childish voicings of the season's joy.
That's right, Judge. Well, Cherokee also made mention he'd appreciate whatever assistance the women folks of Yellowhammer might care to render for his little soiree.
Well, there ain't but one female woman in town, Baldy.
Yeah.
Miss Walker, the assayer's wife.
Yeah, that's right. You forget Miss Fanchon Spangler in the troupe at the Opera House.
Woo-hoo!
An estimable lady, I'm sure.
Yeah, and if worst come to worst, maybe Miss Fanchon could play like she was a little girl for Cherokee, like she done in that show, The Miner's Bride.
No. No, Thirsty. Her performance was adequate, circumstances taken into consideration. But between her delineation and the visions of adolescence which fancy conjures as eligible recipients of Cherokee's bounty, there is a gulf.
Hmm?
Yes, I may say a gulf.
Chair meeting of the leading citizens of Yellowhammer for a mighty special reason.
Well, what is it?
Well, it'd be a disgrace to Yellowhammer if it throwed Cherokee down on his Christmas tree blowout.
That's right.
Well, as for me, I'm going to see what can be done to give Santa Claus a square deal.
That's right. Where would you?
My cooperation would be gladly forthcoming, Trinidad.
Thank you, Judge.
But I do not see... frankly, heretofore, I have regarded the absence of children rather as a luxury. But in this instance, still I do not see...
Look at me, Judge, and you'll see old ways and me's with fur on. I'm going to hitch up a team and rustle a load of kids for Cherokees down the chimney act if I got a robbing orphan aside.
Get off me, Santa!
Splendid, Trinidad. A splendid thought. I will accompany you.
Wiley Wilson and his old lady that's homesteading down Wild Horse Canyon has got a whole parcel of kids. Why, they could loan out a couple or so and never know they was gone.
That's right.
Yeah, and don't forget to hit a Singletary over towards Wildcat Crossing. When old man Singletary cashed in his chips last summer, he left her anyways a dozen or so young'uns, sorted sizes and ages.
Why can't we use all of them? Have no fear, gentlemen. When Trinidad and I return, we shall be accompanied by a bevy of laughing, carefree children. If the mountain refuses to come to Muhammad, behold, Muhammad will go to the mountain.
That's right.
This is Wiley Wilson's place, Judge.
Oh, yeah.
I'll call him out. Oh, Wiley! Wiley Wilson!
I'm Wiley Wilson. Is there something I can do for you, gents?
Well, it's this away, Mr. Wilson. We're from Yellowhammer, and we come kidnapping.
Kidnapping?
What? Just in a gentle sort of way, you might say, Mr. Wilson. Seems like one of our leading citizens is stung with a Santa Claus affliction, and, well, he's due in town tomorrow night with half the folderols that's painted red and says Mama when you squeeze him.
In other words, Mr. Wilson, the season of the year having approximately arrived, during which it is the custom to bestow frivolous but oft-appreciated gifts among the young...
Now, where we're between a hard spot and a rock is the youngest kid we got in Yellowhammer packs a .45 and a safety razor. So, consequent, we're mighty shy on somebody to say, oh, and aw, when we light the candles on Christmas.
And may I say, Mr. Wilson, we have discovered for the first time in our embryonic but progressive little city the inconvenience of the absence of adolescence.
So, partner, if you loan us a few kids, we guarantee to return them safe and sound on Christmas Day. And they'll come back all loaded down with a good time at Swiss Family Robinsons and cornucopias, red drums, and similar testimonials. Well, what do you say, Mr. Wilson?
I understand, and I don't reckon the need to detain you, gents. Me and the old woman's got seven kids, so to speak, but running my mind over the bunch, I don't appear to hit upon none we could spare for you to take over to your doing.
But couldn't we perhaps divide them, Mr. Wilson? Say, four for you and three for us. We should be happy to accept the leavings.
There ain't no leavings, gents, when they're yourn.
Oh, me.
No, gents, thank you kindly, but I can't seem to fall in with the idea of letting none of them go.
Look, Miss Singletary... You got 12 kids, ain't you?
Well, I did have the last time I counted them. But land a-living, riding herd on them young'uns is a 24-hour-a-day job.
Exactly, madam. That is why the absence of one would pass unnoticed, I am confident. we will see that he or she or it returns to you on Christmas Day, laden with sufficient toys and goodies to lavish the season's cheer upon your entire flock.
If that ain't just like a man... Why, if a single one was missing tomorrow night when they hang up their stockings, the other 11 would take on and beller till you could probably hear them all the way to Yellowhammer.
But surely, madam, one...
If you took one, you might as well take all. And you needn't worry none about that. Why, what kind of a mother would I be, loaning out my own flesh and blood on Christmas Eve? I'd be a female Judas. That's what I'd be.
Judge, the further we go, the worse it gets. We've been out most 2 days now. Tomorrow's Christmas. We ain't been able to rustle so much as one young'un.
The situation is indeed becoming critical.
It's beginning to creep on my faculties that borrowing kids at Christmas is something like trying to steal butter from a man that's got hot pancakes a-coming.
Trinidad, what is yon abode?
Oh, that's where Juan Fernandez lives. He's a section hand on the railroad.
Perchance that our Fernandez progeny?
Oh, whole shack full, Judge, but I misdoubt we can borrow any. Them Mexicanos set a heap of store by Christmas.
We can but try. Angels can do no more. On, Trinidad. On to the Fernandez menage.
Buenas tardes, señor.
Juan, we were just a-wondering if you'd let us borrow one or maybe two of them muchachos of yours.
You mean to take los niños?
Well, just for tonight. We'll bring them back tomorrow, safe and sound.
And nobly enriched in material possessions.
No, señores. Madre de Dios. Conchita, she will kill me if todos los niños are not here for Navidad.
All right, Juan. We'll just leave it go at that. Do you know anybody around here that's got from one kid on up for hire or borrow?
This senora, she's come last week where the railroad mans they eat. She have one muchacho.
Oh, that's the railroad cafe at the Granite Junction, Judge.
Oh?
Muchas gracias, Juan.
Oh, no, the case,
listen,
señor.
Navidad y Año Nuevo.
Gracias.
Giddy up, dear. Giddy up, Nelly.
On, Trinidad, on. And may success crown this despairing effort.
That's why we'd be mighty proud if you'd let him take it.
And you may place the utmost trust in our integrity, madam.
Well, I'd count it a mercy if you would take Bobby for a while. I'm on the go from early morning until late at night, and I don't have time to tend to him. He's learning bad habits from the men, too. It'll be the only chance you'll have to get any Christmas. Bobby! Oh, Bobby!
What do you want?
Come on in, Bobby. These gentlemen want to talk to you.
All right. Keep their shirts on.
That's a good boy, son. Knocking the snow off your boots. Here are the gentlemen that want to talk to you.
What do they want?
Well, it's like this, Bobby. Over in Yellowhammer, we got our Christmas tree that's all lit up like a country church. And we're hereby inviting you to join up with us and make merry and festive.
And moreover, my young friend, Santa Claus himself will personally distribute the offerings, which will typify the gifts conveyed by the shepherds of Bethlehem to one and all...
come off. I ain't no kid. There ain't no Santa Claus. It's your folks that buys toys and sneaks them in when you're asleep. They make marks in the soot with tongs to look like Santa's sleigh tracks.
Well, that might be so. I ain't no authority on the subject. But Christmas trees ain't no fairy tale. This one we got looks like the 10-cent store in Albuquerque, all strung up in the redwood. There's tops and drums and Noah's arks and...
Ah, rats. I cut them out long ago. I'd like to have a rifle. Not a target one, but a real one to shoot wildcats with. But I guess you won't have any of them in your old tree.
Well, I can't say for sure. It might be. You go along with us and see.
All right. I'll go with you. But if there ain't a real rifle on that tree, you can bring me right back here.
Cherokee, there's a tree all trimmed up and just waiting for Santa Claus and his reindeers.
Well, say, it's right pretty, Miss Walker. And I'm mighty pleased you and Miss Spangler for helping us get it all shored up and ready to delight the young'uns.
Oh, Mr. Cherokee, yes? I think what you're planning to do tonight is one of the sweetest things I've ever heard of in all my life. You have a heart. A heart of purest gold.
Ah, oh, Miss Spangler, it ain't nothing. Well, when them kids is rounded up, light the candles on the tree, and send them to play in Pussy Watch a Corner and King William. And when they get going good at it, why, old Santa'll just slide in the door. Hey, I reckon there's plenty of gifts to go around, huh?
I'm sure there is, Cherokee.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I'd better be a-getting. I'll put on my costume, and when I hear the kids a-squealing and taking on over the Christmas tree, ha-ha, I'll just mosey back.
I hear caution.
It's the most beautiful tree I've ever seen.
It is pretty, ain't it? Mm. Tex?
Yeah?
While you're up on that ladder, that star ain't quite straight. Tip it a mite more towards the window, will you?
Sure thing you know, Miss Walker. Now there, how's that?
That's just fine, Tex.
Yeah, drive it up in front now, Miss Walker.
And the children, bless their baby hearts. Are the children with them?
Snowing so thick, it's hard to tell.
They got one maverick in tow. I can see him. Might on the ruddy side, I'd say.
Well, open the door, Tex, and let him in. Now, everybody get ready and wish Merry Christmas when they all come streaming in, huh?
Shucks. I've seen fancier Christmas trees than that one lots of times.
Trinidad. George. Where are all the other children?
Well, ma'am, the prospecting for kids at Christmas time is like, well, like hunting, well, it's like hunting in limestone for silver.
Hmm.
This here young biped, ma'am, is all that washes out of our 2 days' maneuver.
Oh, the sweet little boy.
Ah, shut up. Who's a kid? You ain't, you bet.
Fresh little imp.
May I say that we exerted ourselves to the utmost, but results were nil, or practically so.
Me and the judge, we done the best we could. Tough on Cherokee, but it can't be helped.
Everybody get ready. Here comes Santa Claus now.
There he comes.
Whoa, Dancer. Oh, Prancer. Oh, Dunder and Malicious.
Santa's telling his radio to stop.
Don't give me that. Reindeers live in Alaska. I'll bet 2 bits against a plug of chewing tobacco. All those are a team of mules or horses.
Prepare for the entrance of Kris Kringle. Swing wide the portal text that the jolly saint's entrance may be unimpeded.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Merry Christmas, little boy. Anything you see on that tree that you want, we'll get it down for you. Won't you shake hands with Santa Claus?
There ain't no Santa Claus. You just got on old billy goat whiskers in your face. I ain't no kid. What I want with dolls and tin horses? The driver said you'd have a rifle, and you ain't. I want to go home.
I'm sorry, Cherokee. There never was a kid at Yellowhammer. Me and the judge, we tried to rustle a bunch of them for your soiree, but this sardine was all we could catch. And he's an atheist and don't believe in Santa Claus.
Well, I don't know what I was thinking about, but it never occurred to me in my cogitations that there wasn't no kids in Yellowhammer.
Nary a one, Cherokee. This jackknife here we had to import.
Well, he'll be better than none at all. Come here, little boy.
What do you want?
Oh, I just wanted to propound a civil question or two. Where do you live?
Granite Junction. My ma runs a railroad eating house. I can roll a cigarette one-handed just as good as a man can. Sometimes they give me chewing tobacco and cigarettes that's already rolled.
I see. And you don't take no stock in this here Santa Claus rigmarole, huh?
Nah, that's just for babies.
Well, that being the case, I can't see no good and valid reason not to take off these here false whiskers and wings.
Sure, take them off. You ain't fooling me a bit. Say, I know your mug all right.
Did you ever see me before?
I never seen you before, but I seen your picture lots of times.
Where?
On a bureau at home.
Hey, let's have your name, if you please, Bub.
It's Robert Lumsden. The picture belongs to my ma. She puts it under her pillow at night. Once I saw her kiss it, I wouldn't. Well, women are funny that way.
Trinidad!
Yeah, Cherokee?
Keep this boy by it till I come back.
You betcha I will, Cherokee.
I'm going to peel off these here Christmas duds and hitch up my sleigh. I'm going to take this kid home.
Got a match?
Yep. Old powerful.
How about slip me one?
What for?
What for? To light this cigarette.
Throw that cigarette away.
Yes, sir.
Throw the whole package, too.
Yes, sir. Say, I like you. I don't know why. Nobody ever made me do nothing I didn't want to do before.
Tell me, kid. Are you sure your ma kissed that picture that looked like me?
Dead sure. I seen her do it.
Didn't you remark some time a spell back that you wanted a rifle?
You bet I did. Will you get me one?
Tomorrow. Silver mounted.
Gee!
Half past nine. We'll hit the junction plumb on time with Christmas Day. Are you cool? Huh?
Sit closer, son.
Heard Christmas by Injunction, one of O. Henry's greatest short stories, especially adapted for Author's Playhouse by Jack Mitchell. The cast of tonight's presentation included Cliff Sabir as Cherokee, Curly Bradley as Trinidad, Sidney Elstrom as the Judge, and Jerry Spellman as Bobby. In the supporting cast were Fern Persons, Harriet Allen, Eva Parnell, Hilda Graham, Dan Bowers, Clarence Hartzell, Percy Hemus, Carl Kroenke, and Michael Romano. The original musical score was written and conducted by Roy Shield. 1 week from tonight, Author's Playhouse will return to the air with a romantic comedy of love and football, Unlike Leonardo by Howard Rigsby. Author's Playhouse originates in our Chicago studios as a Red Network presentation of the National Broadcasting Company.
And here is a program called The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. This was done by Norman Corwin from 1945.
Seven years ago this Christmas, a young radio writer-director named Norman Corwin produced his first half-hour broadcast for CBS. A fantasy entitled The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. In the years since then, Columbia has brought you many other varied works of Corwin, works which have elevated their creator to the unique position he enjoys in American radio. This holiday season, Norman Corwin comes back to the same studio to direct substantially the same cast with which he first presented his now traditional fantasy, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. As in the original production, House Jameson plays Santa, Eric Burroughs is Nero, and Will Gear performs the role of Mephisto. Henry Morgan, better known as Here's Morgan, is a newcomer to the plot, playing a number of roles, including that of your narrator.
Did you hear about the plot to overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama, and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that the fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a hi and a hey-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of the plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
Grot is a poetical term for grotto. Whenever you hear my voce sotto, or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
As I was saying, in this Stygian grot, the notables of Limbo hatched a plot, and what went on in the sulfurous hole we'll soon pick up by remote control. Of course, such a pickup's not made quickly. As a matter of fact, it's done rather trickily. You mustn't mind if it sounds erratic. That's merely intraterrestrial static. And don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder just as we start on our journey under. You'll hear earthquakes and all of the commoner varieties of natural phenomena. And so, below, via radio, to the regions where legions of the damned.
interrupt me in the middle of a movement of my favorite concerto. You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital if the matter were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is piddling when it comes to be compared with Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I've been sent here to summon you to a great mass meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the Flaming Cove.
A meeting? What for? What's the big idea? Why can't a fellow have some peace down here?
Peace, poor soul, can't be found on the premises. This is a region abounding in nemesis.
Now you're talking like a travel folder. Tell me, Varlet, before I smolder, why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against a festival that mortal men comfort in and gladden in again and again. You see, every year...
Never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who will be there.
His wickedness, Mephisto, will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgias will be sitting at his side. And down in front by the sizzling sodium will be many personalities noted for their odium. Haman, Caligula, Medusa, and Legree.
That's all very nice, but what about me?
Oh, you will be sitting in row A, center. Between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy? Why, they're both deranged.
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Righto. See you at the meeting then?
Yes. And now, back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sotto voce person. It should have been explained that Nero is rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burn, he likes to play. It makes him feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up in Rome.
The meeting will now come to order, please. I've called you here from over 60 seas, a boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus, to stop what constitutes a loss for us. We've lost prestige, and I greatly deplore that we stand in danger of losing more in the way of confidence and spirit. We're far from our goal. We're nowhere near it. And this is the reason. Though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on earth every late December because of Christmas. Now, please remember that as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask, and then suggestions.
Mr. Chairman!
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we've done well in our efforts to sell evil. I say we've done better. We've carried out the letter of your law. And I say, as a veteran daemon...
Sit down there, Haman! Enough of this folly!
Sit down yourself! You're off your trolley!
Sit down! I'm Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us? Why, you're unbearable!
I want more decorum in this forum. These personal remarks must cease. Now, Brother Ivan, will you speak your piece?
I merely want to say, in a casual way, that Haman's a radical. Always gets fanatical. Why, you'd think to hear this pop that the devil should just give up.
Mr. Chairman! Brother Ivan is a demagogue with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. Oh. He shall...
Come to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of us all down here below?
No!
Very well, then, sirs. Very well. Let's go. Let's lay down our plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff of holly and mistletoe and stuff. Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor, as a former emperor, anything which curbs our rule. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew. Fruits and nuts and little cakes. Poisonous as rattlesnakes.
Bravo!
Let our subtlest worker be... bichloride of mercury.
Brilliant.
Let us wrap in tinsel bright. little gifts of dynamite.
Very good.
Work things so that men will fear when 1225 draws near.
Good.
Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say that we think you got something there. And now with this fine start, let's hear some more. Yes, Brother Nero, do you want the floor?
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've heard just lately men are giving the razz to classical music by making it jazz. They're swinging Bach. And what is keener? They're doing the shag to Palestrina. As a connoisseur of music, of course, I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov. But today I note with a bitter shrug, they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point? We're wasting time.
I was just about to say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted if you take and swing all the Christmas carols. Why, think of the evil! Just barrels and barrels of sacrilege every time you play a pious song in a profane way. Why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us. Well?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Legree.
I'd like to say that it seems to me that y'all is barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero's made a wrong guess. Now, the way to go about it is to get in Congress. Bribe a bunch of senators to know their oaths and just make a purchase of a block of votes. And then they can legislate a situation where their rules old Christmas right out of the nation. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't gonna be no Christmas no more.
I think Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
It's very cute.
And quite astute.
Mr. Chairman!
Yes, Miss Borgia?
I say that we should all give pause to think about this Santa Claus. He's the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas. A girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think that you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity one?
Sometimes you are an awful tease, my master, Mephistopheles. Ain't I murdered several dozen? Poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins? Don't my work right here in Hades make me first among the ladies? Men of virtue all have cussed me. I'm sure that you can trust me.
I'll bet we haven't a particle of doubt, Miss Borgia. I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings towards you. But many times a woman's spy, alas, adores her victims. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're heading for some cyanide. You've crossed a Borgia. And you know the consequences that follow.
Come, disciples. This is very bad. There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Suppose we put the matter to a vote. All those in favor of the motion made by Fiend Caligula will signify by rising to their feet and saying, aye.
Aye.
One vote in favor. Caligula's. And those opposed?
Opposed!
The motion is defeated. Up we bring the plan of Brother Nero's, to swing the hymns and pious music. All those for will please respond by raising up a paw.
For!
And those against?
Against!
Very well. Now, the project of Legree's. Who is there here who totally agrees?
I do!
Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Opposed!
Now all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus.
Aye, aye, aye!
And those opposed? It seems the women have a way with them. At least they have carried the day with them.
You flatter.
The motion's carried. And now we'll decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot point of who'll be sent to execute.
This is your old friend Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche. Noche is Spanish for night, you know. Merely a reference just to show that English isn't all I have to go by. Oh, well, I guess I've missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling to give them time to finish the voting. Let's see. The weather. Now I'm quoting the Daily Hellion. Continued heat both overhead and under feet. Free and moderate gases blowing up to gale force. And then going north by westerly. Light showers of brimstone toward the evening hours. That's what it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? This is a thing Bob Trout would have fun with. Say, the drawing should soon be done with. We expect the results any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn. And I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll be proud of you.
Now, just a moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Is it dry or wet there? Is it fact or fancy or just word of mouth that he lives at the pole? Is it north or south? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Now, give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off on a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you'll make your way to the Arctic Circle, then break your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you're bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero if you don't succeed in your assignment.
I know. If at first we don't succeed, we can try and try again. But there is no need, because nothing will come of it. Meaning no offense. Do you mind if I take my departure hence?
That, my friends, was a big brass gong. It is used in this story right along to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will further unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effect.
Tell me, stranger, is this Basel, Switzerland? Or is it already Donner und Blitzland?
Donner and Blitzenlands, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister, and good day. Tell me, stranger, I've been walking inland for weeks. Where am I now?
In Finland.
Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock. Where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
Listen, stranger. After all these centuries of blistering heat, now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
But no speak English, Eskimo.
I declare, by my frenetic soul, I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right? I wonder... Ah, a light! In a moment now, you'll hear me knock on Santa's door, and he'll unlock it nevermore to lock again.
Come in.
So is doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well indeed, and you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I see your chin is frozen. Also, your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I'm about to perpetrate a fearful wrong. In short, I am going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun.
I know all about you.
Really?
Haven't I had my agent scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. Now let me say...
Listen, Santa. I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling and also The Shooting of Dan McGrew. And plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what a broad guy I am, I've also read the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with his reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from a main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you wouldn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education, I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the cult of Pan.
By others, no doubt, your wisdom may be prized. But I didn't come here to be criticized. In fact, I came to dispatch a duty. So don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you've any last words you want to say, then spill them. I haven't got all day.
Now, what's the rush? Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day is always 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry right back to hell, or they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think that the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? Their only interest is numerical.
Think so?
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the sticks! You're right. To think that he'd dare. Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
My answer to that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Claudius! Oh, Cassius! Oh, Nathalie! What a fool I've been! What a fool I've been! But wait. I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. You remind me now of my royalty just to get me in a mood for disloyalty. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses. Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of tutti frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of a holiday is one of such power that all the fiends below might gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm. Because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm you would know nothing about.
Is that so?
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell ye these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please, what beauties there may be that I have never seen?
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands, covered with a sheen of silveriness, its branches bending low with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No!
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face? Or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve? Or listened to grace at a table heavy with fruits and cakes and all the wonders that a kitchen makes? Fowls and pastries, wines and meats and nuts and raisins and candied sweets? Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling? In frosty air, heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever come back from a sleigh ride tingling, and your feet keeping time with the sleigh bells jingling? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly? Or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly.
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it lends to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends?
Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know at all the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you kept.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes, but that was centuries ago. You really had no way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
You see, I'm just a bit...
embarrassed?
Why, yes, sir.
Now, don't look so harassed. I know just why you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent you of all your past mistakes.
With many pains and aches of conscience.
Then are you welcome here. Please take your hat off. Your coat. Your muffler also. Take your spat off. What happened to the other one? No matter. You're pretty thin. You'll presently be fatter. I serve good food here. I'll get you a platter of steak and mushrooms. A medium or rare? I'll bet that you're as hungry as a bear. Now just sit down. That's it. Right over here. And tell me, will you have some wine or beer? I never touch the stuff myself, but I managed to keep on hand a little rye for purposes medicinal. I mean, your chin should be unfrozen. What a state it's in.
A while ago, you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please don't give a yelp. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed, there is. Indeed, there is, and I am glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make this year, the job's got past me. But first, you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right here and stifle your curiosity? I'll get it for you right away. It's down the hall a piece.
Well, well. Who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries, I'm so happy I could buzz. It shows you what the lot a little Christmas spirit does. As emperor, I envied off the cheerfulness of peasants, and now...
Well, here it is, Nero, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you this little gift.
But Santa, for what reason?
A very good one, sir. To wit, compliments of the season. Well, go ahead and open it. Why stand there so reflecting?
I'm just collecting thoughts, St. Nick. My thoughts, I'm just collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship will carry us. Oh, well. I say, what's this? What's this? It is a Stradivarius. Why, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play all night and day for you.
Fine. Here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. It's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I. Remember me, your sotto voce friend? I've just come back to tell you that the story is at an end.
You have been listening to The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin. House Jameson appeared as Santa Claus, Eric Burroughs as Nero, and Henry Morgan as the narrator, Legree, and Ivan the Terrible. Others in the cast were Ann Shepherd, Kermit Murdoch, Will Gere, Robert Dryden, Norman Ober, and Edward Cullen. Paul Winters was Nero's playing arm. The script of The Plot to Overthrow Christmas is found in the book 13 by Corwin. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.